We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's a Wednesday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
He was there early when they were beating
Christian Fourier.
You're the one that looks like an ass for letting them do it.
Yeah, you can prove that.
What? And Glenn Ordway.
Of the multiple...
You can bleep
Why
that.
Why does nobody want Josh McDaniels to coach their football team?
Gerard Mayo. I'm going to interview for the Eagles.
A strange tweet from Julian Edelman has us questioning his football future.
Like Johnny Cash said, you got to die soon.
And Teddy Bruschi joins the show at 4:30.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I'm out of here.
Now it's time for OMF.
It's hard to be fat.
On EEI.
Miss Teddy. Good to have Teddy Bruschi back.
Yeah, brew.
A week without a brew is a bad week. Huh?
Sure is.
How about that?
I like
How
that.
How about that?
It's
like
a good saying.
Yeah, I like that. So, you know, it's not like I want to get drunk
when
on
do
brew.
When do the days and the weeks...
too much brew is too much brew.
When do the days and the weeks start improving? Does anybody know? Is there something on the calendar? When's that happen?
No, like, I am starting to get into that mode of like, what is today?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I think the Patriots have a lot to do with it. I do. I think it's like, you know, it's... You're in a routine. Monday, let's recap the game. Tuesday, the leftovers. Wednesday, let's have a drink. Wednesday, we have a drink. Thursday, talk about the game. Friday, break it down. And now it's just, there's nothing on the calendar.
You know, and then the fact that the Celtics continue to just postpone games. You have no idea when the hell they're going to play, which I'm totally fine with. I can have a brew every single day, to be honest with you.
Wait till the Bruins start tomorrow and then have to cancel games or postpone games starting next week.
And of course, the Red Sox hot stove is about to begin.
Oh, yeah. Big week.
Free agency starts next week.
Good news today, Lou. We're actually going to talk about the Red Sox and free agency.
I'm
today's
excited.
Program.
Do we have a universal DH yet?
I don't want to get into it. I think I'll save it. It's freaking ridiculous.
By the way, we're holding it off as long as we possibly can because we figured if we give the Red Sox a couple more hours, maybe they'll actually
do something.
We'll have something to talk about. But again, we keep on saying this over and over and over again, but it's so true. You're in a routine. It's January. You're in New England.
Hold on.
And you have a format on what you're supposed to talk about.
What are you doing?
And it's totally different. Where are you going, Fourier? Fourier just got up and left. Where's he going? Did he quit?
No, he's just...
Sorry. He's tired of you going 203.
No, we're
like,
in
I'm
studio.
I'm going to get sick.
And it is.
What's the matter?
It's like a freaking meat locker in here.
They said it at 65. Like, no one's in here in the middays. Is this what Greg Hill... Greg Hill's the only one in here in the mornings, ain't he?
Yeah, but he breathes
it's
a lot.
Like 65.
And he's real heavy. Him and Wiggy, so they're constantly
sweating on each other.
I tell you what, Greg's got the virus all figured out. If he drops the temperature down to 42, he can kill it off.
I tell you, this is really an ode to the movie Rocky, which we all love. That Ryan hates and thinks is stupid, so he's trying to send a message to us.
Did you watch it last night? Did you watch Rocky?
I haven't seen it, but
night?
I did find out it's $3.99 on Amazon. It's a little pricey.
We'll pay for it.
Yeah,
we'll chip in.
It's company expense.
Jeez, come on.
I rewatched A Clockwork Orange last night. Christian, thank you for that suggestion.
Oh, Jesus. Stab me in my eyeballs.
What, you like that movie? I love that movie.
Love that movie.
You don't love that movie? You know what you should go watch and talk about Kubrick movies? 2001, right?
You know what? Hold on.
Try to tell me what it means. I have no idea what it means.
I don't even know what a clockwork
orange means. Can I just throw this out there? I know we're completely going off script, and I know we're getting back on track.
It's life these days.
I don't know why I wrote this down. Lou, you got to see this. Teen sex comedies of the 80s.
Teen sex comedies of the
80s? Teen sex comedies of the 80s. Wow, I actually wrote that down. Like around 9:30 this morning.
Is that like 16 candles?
No. You know, like stupid, like the ski movies and the party movies where they really this.
They were great
stupid.
B movies. Those
like,
weren't really
you know,
movies.
Over the top. It was like on top or something. It was like a ski movie where all the girls were wearing like basically nothing in these sexy vinyl, like, you know, ski outfits that they would, it would be freezing. They'd unzip it. You'd see like a bra. Like,
those were, you know, those the '80s, the sex, you know, the teen sex comedies of the '80s.
It was passable. It made no sense. That's what it was.
And I bet you if you typed
teen
in
porn.
Remember, yeah. Now we didn't have the ability to go online on our phone and get this type of. If you typed in right now,
Blockbuster and
teen
rent it.
Sex comedies of the '80s. Tell me what you find.
You're saying you didn't have Mr. God. Skin when you were a kid?
No.
You go into Blockbuster and you say, can I have teen sex movies of the '80s, please?
Please don't, Christian, don't Google that on the work computer, please.
No, I just did.
Yeah, I would have thought you were talking like Fast Times, 16 Candles, yeah, like those kind
of movies.
Fast Times, yeah.
That's what it was for me.
Okay, here it is.
Porky's.
Porky's is a great movie.
Hot Dog. That's the ski movie I was talking about.
Same thing. Hot Dog,
Valley Girl.
Car Wash.
The Beach Girls.
Yeah, but it's not in the '80s, but The Girl Next Door. Good God.
Yeah, you know, that one too. I'm just saying, like, these, there's a million of them. Anyways, that's football.
Okay, right.
I got to show these guys these breasts.
There's a million hot dogs.
Talk about porn. Movie. Teddy Bruschi today at 4:30 coming up. So there is a little bit of football, and unfortunately, none of it is talking about the Patriots playing in a game on Saturday or Sunday. But how about this one? This is Ian Rappaport reporting on a possible Patriot coach who may be leaving.
And then some news from the Philadelphia Eagles. They, of course, have a coaching search as well after firing Doug Peterson. Got a little bit of a late start. They do have an interview scheduled over the next couple days. Gerard Mayo, the former Patriots captain and linebacker, the player that they used to call Gerard Belichick when he was with the Patriots back when I was covering, just because he sounded like a coach. He is the inside linebackers coach for New England and going to interview for the Eagles head coaching job over the next couple days. Would be a huge jump for Mayo, but one of the smartest players really I've ever seen. Would be someone we are going to be hearing about a lot in the head coaching world.
Wow. I think people are going to be interested in him.
Now?
34 years old. He's going to be 35 next month.
Now?
So he's really 35. Yeah, because things have changed. You know, look at Brian Flores right now. I think they're looking not necessarily, we've gone from the Adam Gase where we need to have the quarterback whisperer because it's all about working with the quarterback to now bringing in a motivator, somebody that can relate with the players in that locker room. Flores did it brilliantly down there in Miami, and I'll guarantee you that Lori down in Philadelphia is looking at that saying, how about that guy Mayo up in New England?
It's just smart Flores, guy. You know, basically joined the staff, like when? Actually, 2004. You know, special team coaching assistant in 2008.
Well, Mayo was playing the game.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying as far as coaching, like Gerard Mayo, head coach. This is his second year in the staff?
Yes.
Last year, we weren't sure what he was.
What his role was.
This year, we kind of understood that, you know, Steve Belichick is the defensive coordinator. Mayo, as Ian points out, is the inside linebacker coach. 2 years on a staff to be a head coach? Listen, I'm not saying he's not going to be head coach someday, but good God.
Listen, he fits the profile. Does he not right now?
Like, that's too green for football.
Of what teams are looking for. And
what would that be? What would that profile be?
They're looking for a young guy who can motivate, who's not that far out of the game.
He won't say it.
Well, you can talk about the color of his skin if you want, and that's part of the Rooney Rule.
Well, stop acting like it isn't part of the situation.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Is Gerard Mayo being brought in simply as a Rooney Rule candidate? Does he have zero chance of being the coach of that team, but they're bringing him in because they have to?
I think he has zero chance of getting that job. I'm not saying that he's not ready. I think that's a different part, but it's okay to say that guys are black coaches are getting interviews because they're black.
I just said
the Rooney Rule, but you're listing a profile and you're avoiding what I think is one of the obvious parts of that profile. Like, he's a black young coach in the NFL, which is coaches and executives and owners are going to make a run on.
There aren't that many of them. So maybe this year's going to be different. You're right.
Oh, they're looking for a young, energetic coach.
There's a difference of actually going in that direction as opposed to bringing somebody in to satisfy the Rooney Rule and then go into a totally different direction. Now, if I'm Gerard Mayo, I don't mind doing that the first time around. If I have to do it next year and the year after that and the year after that, it's going to piss me off because you're just using me because of the color of my skin rule.
And this is different. Tyler's pointing out, too, because they are interviewing Todd Bowles and they are interviewing Deuce Staley, who was on that staff, right? I don't know. What is he? Is he running backs coach or whatever it was? So he was on that staff with Doug Peterson. So both of those
running
guys
are
already being interviewed from Philadelphia. And I'm not saying that Mayo won't be a great head coach. It's just you know, I look at a guy, like you said, even like Flores. Well, Flores was, you know, on that staff for 10 years, 15 years, and just saw the makings of the coach. Like, being a player and having that experience, even a guy like Vrabel, but how many years was Vrabel a coach, whether it be Ohio State and in Houston?
Probably four, something five, like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's there. I'm surprised that after 2 years, like year one, you kind of get your feet wet. You know what I mean? Year two, you kind of settle in and you are what you are right now. I think there's a year three, there's a year four, and then he's a real candidate to be a coach. But then again, the Giants hired Joe Judge. So what the hell do I know?
Not a black guy, by the way.
No, I'm just saying as far as just kind of came out of nowhere.
Very little experience. All right, so how was it? Safe zone, Glenn.
Stay in the safe zone, Glenn.
How was it that Gerard May? I'm not staying in any
you
safe
are,
zone.
You're such a safe zone guy.
How am I staying in
a
safe zone? Where was the safe zone?
You're a safe. Forget it.
So you think the only reason? Well, let me ask you.
No.
Okay, wait a minute. If you want to be the tough guy, are you telling me the only reason they're bringing Gerard May in is because he's black? Is that what you're saying?
Now you're being a dick.
No, I'm not being a dick.
You're being a dick. The only reason I didn't come close to saying that, but now you're suiting it up like that, and I'm not going to have it.
So why are they bringing?
Go read the next tease.
Why are they bringing him in? Read the tease. Look at your sheet. Read it. Why are they bringing him in? So you won't answer the question.
Why is Mayo getting much more interest in the coaching carousel than Josh McDaniels? I don't know. We'll do that in your phone calls next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, back here on OMF, we will get to the Deshaun Watson situation because it's getting more interesting by the hour. But before we get to that, we just talked about Gerard Mayo. He's getting interest. He will have an interview for a head coaching position with the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, if he does get that job, the Patriots will end up receiving a third-round compensatory pick for 2 consecutive years. That's how it works right now to try to generate a push here to get minority candidates jobs elsewhere. The team that he's on right now is the one that actually benefits from it.
The fact is that there's never been a better time for young, black, African-American coaches in the NFL to get head coaching opportunities.
Well, let's see what the total number is, because I'm not sure. I'm still buying that it is the best time. But clearly what they're doing is
wait, hold on.
They're bringing them in, which they've always done with the Rooney Rule.
Think about, okay, just, I don't know if you're ever going to have another time in history over the, like we have had over the last 8 months, where so much push has been driven towards social justice, police reform,
agreed,
you know, Black American agreed lives. I mean, you'll never see it again. It'll agreed never talk about a crescendo. Okay. I don't know if we've hit it yet. I don't know. So, and then you go into ownership, owners, the billionaire owners who now have realized that their players are starting to demand certain things that an owner would normally never listen to. I want this guy. I want that guy. No, they go pound sand, okay? You're an employee. You don't make decisions. Now, I feel like young Black coaches in the NFL, young Black players in the NFL have a stronger voice, have more of an ability to change the way the team is run and who they hire.
Well, I would say that there's a very good chance Eric Bieniemy finally gets a job this year. Would you agree with that?
I'm not sure.
Unless
because
he just
can't
doesn't
interview,
want to do it.
He can't interview until they're done, and that is a problem. If he interviewed last week with Houston, then there might have been a shot there, and they might have used him to try to hold
on. Is that a new rule?
To Deshaun Watson? Yeah, they can't do it until the end, until they're done playing. Now, they had last week to do it.
Yeah, he's right. Week. He's right. So they could talk during that bye week, but once they start prepping. So here's what Houston is doing. Houston,
late to the party.
2 weeks
before the Super Bowl, like somebody
that was
could go and interview.
That was part of Deshaun Watson's big debate. His big gripe was that they didn't interview in the week that they had the opportunity.
But they also didn't have a GM, so maybe there's some leeway there. So Eric Bieniemy can't interview. Leslie Frazier can't interview until afterwards.
Todd Bowles?
Where's he at?
Tampa, right?
He is a defensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Don't you remember?
Right.
I mean, Jesus, how many times did Van Gundy say Bowles is going to do what Bowles is going to do?
Is that what he's saying?
Either that or Heineke. I'm impressed with Heineke.
I do want to say something, though. Back to the Gerard Mayo situation. Remove color for a second. As far as the way GMs hire coaches, I think what I am starting to feel is a trend away from the normal process of becoming a head coach. Runner, scout, assistant, ball boy, you know, to position coach, to offensive coordinator, that whole thing. I think those days are coming to an end. Like, we have seen, like, if you have you don't necessarily have to show that you have the ability to run an offense or a defensive side of the ball or special teams. Like, that to me, if you can, you know, show that you can do that before you actually have the opportunity to do it. Like, Mike Vrabel, 1 year, and his defense sucked. It was terrible. But he was already groomed. He was already ready to do it. So the fact that they gave him 1 year underperforming, somebody, you know, obviously Jamie Robinson up in Nashville, already identified him as a good head coach material.
Well, don't you agree? I think it's more about leader, motivator.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
That was the point I was trying to make at the top that you got all worked up about because you were looking at the color of skin. And the point that I was trying to make is
I look at you as pale white. Lou is olive oil, and I am a mocha. I am a dark, light mocha.
Kind of polka dot. That's what you
light
are.
Light mocha.
Yeah. The difference is they're willing to take, and we're seeing it now, younger guys and guys that are recently out of the game as players as opposed to lifelong coaches because they truly believe, I think, instead of the X's and the O's, and we've gone through the quarterback whisperers, they're looking for guys that can motivate.
Well,
now,
tell
you're
me,
right, Christian, if they have a similar background.
But how many coaches in this league are, you know, recently former players? I mean, how many?
Well,
Vrabel, okay, and how long?
But you've had a few over the years. You know, Dungy.
Peterson was just fired,
and a lot of guys played college.
Cliff Kingsbury,
yes,
barely. I mean,
but I'm just saying, like, I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know if you're grabbing like baseball's over the top, right? Baseball is just, you know, you're a baseball player. As you're a player, you're studying the game. You're learning how to play the game. They put you in there because you're a great communicator. And there's a lot of success with guys off the field 6'5", 6'8" years ago. David Ross, all these guys, Alex Booney, everyone. Football, I don't know if you really have that. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if you have that.
Well, I think that's what you're dealing with Mayo. Certainly Vrabel, who was, you know, just out of the game. I mean, that was an early hire. A lot of people at the beginning were critical of that, saying he's not ready, and he clearly is ready. So I think as those guys like Flores and Vrabel have success, you know, without having, you know, a lot of experience, you're going to see more and more about that because it's really about motivating in that locker room now as opposed to the X and O guru quarterback whisperer.
But the motivation, like, always needs to be there.
Jim Caldwell, an example. I don't think that's a great motivator, right?
Yeah, but see, here's my thing. I don't know if – so you say motivator. I think there's the guy that yells and screams at everybody. Mike Singletary doesn't work if you suck.
Different guys can have a different approach. I'm talking about guys who are able to get to their players. Think about how rough it was for Flores at the beginning because he had some guys that were going, butting against him, and they started making deals, trades, and whatever, and by the end of the season, they seemed to be all on board with him. See, I think you'd have to look at it and say he had a really successful season.
I think that you're right. It's one of the attributes I would like, but if you look at the coaches, if you look at the coaches that are successful recently, I will point to a couple of characteristics that I think are the most important. It's trust. Do you have my back? And more importantly now, will you back us with things that we do? Can we believe in you? Like, I mean, are you going to lead us down a stupid, road where we can't get out of? Like, there's a reason why the Miami Dolphins rallied around Brian Flores, even in the beginning when it seemed like he was losing the team based on what he was making them do, how he had to explain some of the things, similar to what happened to Matt Patricia. But Brian Flores works his way out of it. The team believes in him. They rally around him. They trust him. And Matt Patricia, who is basically doing the same thing, gets run out of town. They didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. It was a totally different vibe. Now, Adam Gase, I don't know what happened with him. I don't know. Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, Pete Carroll, like the list can go on. And Sean McDermott, there's a reason why that team is playing so well. Yes, they've done good drafting and getting free agents. I know, but you can easily screw that up. You could easily screw that up.
When you have a quarterback,
the team,
it's hard
trust
to
him. Look what Sean McDermott was doing since he got into the league. He wasn't being passive. He wasn't letting Bill walk all over him. He wasn't taking a backseat. Even last year when the Patriots went up there to Buffalo, like a hardo, he's running around screaming at the little Belichick for like being on the field where he shouldn't be. Both teams would just ignore it. And they wouldn't even do anything because they wouldn't want the fight and they wouldn't want the backlash.
So I think what you've got, and especially with the ownership and maybe some to a lesser degree, the general managers that are out there, they're looking for the next big thing. And that's why you're seeing Robert Saleh is apparently going to get the Jets job. They brought him in for a second time. We're talking about Brian Daboll up in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He might end up getting a job. He's a hot candidate. Maybe he gets the Houston gig. Who knows? And so we got a new breed of coaching candidates, and it's leaving a guy like Josh McDaniels on the sideline. Not only is he stale now, he still has to live with passing that gig up in Indianapolis that I think a lot of owners probably have difficulty with. And then on top of that, people are going to look at it. We look at it and say he had a good year with Cam Newton. He had nothing to work with, and man, he took that canvas and he found something. I don't think the rest of the owners out there are looking at the numbers and saying, boy, McDaniels really did a good job up there with Cam Newton.
You know what he's like? You know, there's a lot of club owners. They will rent space. They will lease space for a 10-year lease. And they'll come up with a concept, an idea, and they'll have a grand opening. That concept will get stale. The same owners, they will gut it, reemerge with a completely different theme, and start all over again. Josh McDaniels is that club. Nobody wants to go there anymore. It was hot for years and years. Suddenly, something else opened down the street. So nobody really cares. Even though he hasn't become a lesser of a coach or a worse coach, I would say he's become a better coach. But he's just not the hottest spot to be right now.
The window is closed for Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
And it won't open again until they get the new quarterback here. And he shows that he could take him to heights, that he can make him one of the top 10 players, whether it's a young quarterback or what, or whatever it might be, or maybe even a reclamation project and have him be an all-pro quarterback. But until then, right now, yeah, that window is closed. And it's one of the risks I've always said about Josh. He's got to wait for the perfect spot. Yeah, okay. Until your name isn't what it once was. And right now, I think you're in that spot. The guy hasn't got an interview. There's seven openings. They're out of the playoffs.
He's not getting an interview.
And he hasn't got an interview.
No, No. And it, unfortunately for him, the window, I'm not saying the window was closed.
For now
the
it is.
But the window is not open right now for him. Well, now, maybe it comes back next year. Maybe if he gets a different quarterback in here and he comes and he has a great season with that quarterback, he gets that back. But I think from the outside, anybody looking at Josh McDaniels is sitting there going, man, look at Cam Newton. He was terrible. You know, he was an MVP in the past. And unfortunately, it's not Josh's fault, but he's going to take the blame for it. I do like it. Yesterday you made a Bachelor reference, a Bachelorette reference, and today you're bringing John Taffer in, like a Bar Rescue,
yeah,
to make a comparison.
That's what
I
they
like
need.
That.
You
I
know
like
what? That. Actually, they need like they need him. Can we get him on the phone?
John Taffer?
How do you make Josh McDaniels cool again? That's really the question. How does he become cool again? He's lost his swag. He's lost his mojo.
Yeah.
I tell you how you do it. You bring Deshaun Watson here, Bill Belichick. You trade everything away to get Deshaun Watson. I'll guarantee you Josh McDaniels will look brilliant next season. So should the Patriots put everything they possibly can into getting Deshaun Watson? We'll debate it coming up next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI.
Deshaun Watson will not be traded under any circumstances. You can take that to the bank. Watson has not issued a trade demand. Everything has been anonymous sources. And the last time we talked to him a week ago, he said he wanted a coach who would stand up, lead the team. They could follow him. He wanted structure. He wanted a new culture. And he speaks for all the players. J.J. Watt had said that before Watson. And so much is riding on the head coach whom they hire.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, he's done this before, though. He's told us one thing, and then a couple days later, he's totally changed his mind, because this thing is a lot of moving parts into all of this. But if I'm the Houston Texans right now, and I'm Nick Caserio, you know that Deshaun Watson is pissed. He wouldn't even converse with you. He was on vacation. Apparently, he was at the Rockets game last night, so he's back in the, on the scene.
Ooh, did James Harden play?
But he did not well. We'll get to him today as well. But how could you have any faith that Deshaun Watson is going to be satisfied in all of this, guys? First of all, you're not going to be a good team. You're probably going to lose J.J. Watt because you can't afford to pay him all that money. You're not going to be a real good team. And so how do you satisfy him? This might be the golden opportunity for the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio that are in a complete mess right now to maybe retooled, rebuild for 3 years down the road.
See, this is a tough spot for teams, right? Because I understand the argument saying, you know, trading away Deshaun Watson for draft picks who may or may not be good, it makes absolutely no sense. But keeping him and not having any draft picks and not having any money at all and losing even more. Don't they have a bunch of free agents too? And they just,
yes.
They don't even have enough money for them, let alone go out and get anybody else. So that they're in that much trouble cap-wise that just keeping him and just sucking with like no end in sight. I mean, you have a guy that was number two in the league in quarterback rating. He had an amazing year and you won four football games because you got nothing around him. You know, which is amazing. I mean, you know, he had some wide receivers he can throw to. There's no question. Will Fuller stayed healthy. You got lucky there, right? Brandon
awful
Cooks.
Defense too.
Yeah. Get it? Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying it's a couple tight ends. Patriot fans saw that up close and personal. But you know, the trade-off of doing absolutely nothing and saying, well, resetting is stupid, getting rid of a great player. Well, if the great player's not happy, your team's not going to be good, and he's probably you're going to be more frustrated next year when they win four or five games. It might be the smartest move.
See,
if you can get a bundle, and there's teams out there that can give it to you.
So all I keep hearing is, you know, no way, no way. You're going to have a king's ransom. You're going to have to give, you know, all your picks for 5-10 years. Like, so I ask you guys, like, what is too much? Like, is there any team that can realistically, you know, fit the bill to trade for Deshaun Watson?
Miami
and if they do that, like, how far back does it set them?
Well, I brought Miami last week, and Miami would be in a perfect position to be able to do it. If I'm the Patriots, and I'll give you the odds, BetOnline's odds right now on the next team for Deshaun Watson if traded. Dolphins 2-1, Patriots are second on the board at 7-2, Jets 4-1, Bears 11-2, and it drops down continuously from that point on.
Patriots are second on the board?
Second on the board.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that they desperately need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm giving up the free three first-round draft picks, and I'm waiting for Lou to sit there and say, well, Bill would probably screw him up anyway, so why not get rid of him? What good? The first-round draft picks you've gotten the last 3 years have not made a huge difference in your team. If you get rid of give up the three picks here, and you do a good job drafting in the latter part of the draft or undrafted players, which Belichick has done a good job, he's got all of that money to go out there and get valued free agents on the market, guys that are cut on other teams, then who cares if you gave up three, four first-round draft picks for a quarterback? Because without a quarterback, you don't have any rebuild.
See, but I don't think it's as simple. I don't think it is, hey, we're going to give up our first-round pick for the next 5 years. Then I think you really, you know, you delay your growth, like your real growth. Like you mentioned Miami. Miami's a great choice.
Yeah.
Based on the amount of draft picks they have, and they have Tua. I would also say there's other teams that have two first-round draft picks that also have other assets that you could give up that won't completely cripple you. Like, so some of these teams, they give up so many draft picks, they, you know, for because they're so desperate, but they don't have other draft picks to kind of make up for the pain that comes from giving those up.
You mentioned the Dolphins. They still have a young roster, right? They still have a young team. And you know, you got Tua. You have 3-18. You actually have 35 as well. Like Jeremy Tunsil, you got the Houston Texans first and second round pick this year. So it's not only the third pick in the draft, but it's the third pick in the second round. I mean, you're telling me if you're Nick Caserio and they came to you and said, we'll give you Tua, 3-18, 35, and next year's first?
That might be too much if I'm a Miami.
Because
I look at Tua as a first-round draft pick.
Okay, but I'm just saying as far as think about Miami. Yeah, you're giving up a lot. But we have Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Right.
And basically what we did was we traded, you know, half of it is Jeremy Tunsil and Tua. You know, and we've basically turned the two first-round picks and those two players kind of into Deshaun Watson. We are a better football team. Yeah, I've coughed up some picks, some collateral, some rookies that might help us, you know, next year, the year after that. But I have Deshaun Watson for the next 5 years.
Yeah, you speed
And I think Caserio could turn around if he's got Tua and take three and turn that into a couple more picks.
He could
just make that into like five or six picks.
I think that is the way to go. I think
all first rounders.
Before, I didn't think anyone actually had the draft currency to pull this off. Like the Patriots don't have the draft currency. Take them off the board. The teams that have the draft currency are the Jaguars. They're going to have a new head coach. It's probably going to be Urban Meyer, Tyler, just so you know. Happy, I'm sure you're happy about that.
But they don't need the quarterback. They're going to have a quarterback. Like so they're not going to
No. My point is, there's the Jaguars. There's the Jets. Talking about draft currency. I don't know what they're going to do with it. And then there's the Miami Dolphins. Teams that could realistically, literally, like completely change the fortunes of their franchise because of all the draft capital that they have in 1 year. Without having the elongated pain of trying to restructure and dig themselves out of a hole because they don't have any draft picks.
All right, so if I'm Nick Caserio, I do call Jacksonville if I'm going to trade Deshaun Watson because I want Trevor Lawrence. And I also know that it's going to take Jacksonville a few years, so I'll take one of their other first-round draft picks and another one next year, or 2 years from now, I'll take another one.
I don't see how Jacksonville could pass up Trevor Lawrence.
They can't because of marketing.
And I know Deshaun Watson's
great. I think they can easily.
No, see, I look at the Jets. They got four first-round picks in the next two years. 2 years. And this is why, like, you know, you want to be like 4 years from now, sit there and say, we still don't have a draft pick. Because of Deshaun. Now, Deshaun's probably great. But Miami and the Jets could take care of it in the next 2 years and say, for the next 2 years, we don't have first-round draft picks. You know? But, okay, we got Deshaun Watson. Like, I think we're a better football team. Jacksonville, I don't know. Lawrence is a different animal. Lawrence might be a different animal.
Because of the marketing ability out of the gate. And they're starting from nothing.
I know, but you're not anymore.
Their fan base is not there.
Wait a second. Like, so this isn't... See, I think that the Trevor Lawrence thing, like, it looks good and all, like, you know, sunshine, the old nickname thing, but you're going to, right off the bat, Urban Meyer, you don't have to deal with a quarterback that you don't know if he can handle the situation because there have been other quarterbacks from big market schools that couldn't live up to it.
I agree.
And don't give me Trevor Lawrence is breaking numbers. Mac Jones, a quarterback at Alabama, is breaking numbers. Tua Tagovailoa was breaking numbers.
We don't know. But if you're starting from scratch, and that's where they are with a brand new coach and a college coach, and you have maybe the best college quarterback we've seen since Andrew Luck coming into the league, and on top of that, you have all of those other draft picks to build pieces around him.
Yeah, see, Miami's
you're
going
to have to give all of that up
Miami's just close to the quarterback. It makes more sense for Miami. They're like the closest team.
No question.
The closest team to winning.
That debate of who would you rather have? You have 5 years to build a franchise.
I would rather have Deshaun Watson.
Trevor Lawrence on the draft picks.
I would rather have Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is if I'm Houston.
Why would you take Trevor Lawrence?
Well, because the Trevor Lawrence pick takes away the other stuff that I get. Like, that is extremely valuable.
No. Okay,
that is so much more valuable than what the Jets can offer it to because it's Trevor Lawrence.
It's even. My point is when you look at turning around, you're willing to take a risk on a rookie quarterback that had unbelievable success in college. So did all the other quarterbacks before him, one being Deshaun
Watson. I'm
just
talking about the draft
pick. But I don't have to give up any of the draft picks.
I know. My point is, just take out the draft picks. My point is,
Deshaun Watson's going to suck in Jacksonville without getting additional players.
No, he won't.
Did he suck
initially,
this year
they don't have enough players there.
If Deshaun Watson was in Jacksonville this year, they'd win four games. They'd win the exact same number that Houston won this year.
I mean, when you say they don't have any players,
Deshaun Watson?
Are we talking about
offense? Yeah, put Deshaun in Jacksonville this year. They'd be four wins.
Are we talking about offense? They don't have any weapons?
They have a lot of weapons. Young weapons.
Yeah.
Cheap weapons.
No, a lot of young, very good, cheap weapons. So there's stuff there. Now, the other side of the football,
there's not
a
lot of talent throughout that roster. There's not great talent. They need those draft picks. To me, it makes more sense for them to go to Trevor Lawrence. They have plenty of time. The market down there is going to be enthused with Trevor Lawrence showing up. If we can have fans next year, they're going to show up to watch Trevor Lawrence. You get a bye there, okay? Then you get all of those other draft picks.
I think you're out of your mind. You think
that's just
Deshaun Watson? Like, what are we talking about? Like, this guy, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's barely 25 years old. Like, what are we acting like this guy is, like, over the hill?
There's 0% chance of this happening. Urban Meyer literally called Trevor Lawrence the greatest college football quarterback and prospect ever he's ever seen.
We're wasting our time with Jeff. That's why they're not on the board.
No, but my point is when it comes to...
What does he know about pro football, by the way?
I'm just saying, when it comes to, like, the draft value, right? I think the number one pick this year is, like, off the charts. Like, it's just off the charts. So if Miami, you sit there and say, I want 2, 3, 18, 35, and next year's first. It sounds like a lot, but it's Deshaun Watson. I don't think you get close to that because Trevor Lawrence, that value for the number one pick is so high. So high. They'd be like, listen, we're giving you Trevor Lawrence. You know, so they were going to give you, okay, so we're not going to give you as much as, say, Miami would because the value of that number one pick, more so than 2, 3, 4, 5, is off the charts because of this kid.
Well, here's one more we have to take into consideration is that he has a no-trade contract. So he's going to be able to dictate this. He's pissed, and if he remains pissed and he says he doesn't want to play,
Tyler says Jacksonville's beautiful.
Or he's going to pull a James Harden and gain about 35 pounds, blow up, and then just show up and not do anything, you got a major problem on your hands. Miami makes all the sense in the world. So I ask you guys this question. Why would Miami ever turn this down? If it were Tua, it were the number three pick. Forget about 18. Let's say Miami holds on to 18 and they give up that second rounder you were talking about at number 35, which is almost the first, and they give up next year's first round. All right? You're giving up three
all
first
day,
round
every
picks.
Day.
Okay, so I would even add to this because, one, we would have to believe for this to be even a possibility because in any other situation, you're like, no way, I'm not even entertaining it. Deshaun Watson has to force the issue. He has to play dirty. He has to be mean. He has to be nasty. He has to be willing to get his hands dirty. I will add this. If let's just use the Miami as the destination. They're your trade partner. You get the draft picks. You also get Tua. Nick Caserio also hires the one and only Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll, who actually coached Tua Tagovailoa while he was at Alabama. There's an understanding there. There's a relationship there. Like, he's already proven he could do it with Josh Allen, who was out of his mind crazy. And if you think Tua is a better prospect and has a greater upside, you bring in Brian Daboll, who coached him. Now, the problem is going to be you're now Patriots self.
Daboll's enough away.
Yeah, he's had success with another quarterback in another franchise.
My point is, like, that to me is like, wow, that is Nick Caserio winning this deal.
See, I hate to say it, but both teams win this deal. I think this is a win-win for both of these teams.
You know who the big loser is?
Who? The Patriots. Yeah, Patriots are the big loser.
Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson in division? Buffalo and Houston? And Buffalo and Miami? Oh, yeah. Boy.
Patriots are the big loser because the Patriots don't have the quarterback, and their division now is just added a quarterback that's ready to win right away. I think this is a win for both. And if I'm Caserio, I laugh when I say Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback, top five quarterback in the league right now. But if he's dissatisfied now and you think you can talk him into nicely coming back and rejoining the Texans, but how long does that last? You're going to suck next year again. And then you're going to have that frustration. And guess what? You're not going to have that Miami deal on the table anymore.
What, Tyler?
So if Bill Belichick doesn't plan to be here maybe 5 years down the road, what do these first-round picks in the future mean to him? Why would you not trade three of them for a top five, top three quarterback in Deshaun Watson, a guy who probably wants to play for Bill Belichick in this system? It makes
I don't know why.
I think it's a great question.
You can learn the system. You can be like Brian Hoyer.
I would say this. If you're Bill Belichick, you would give up whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson.
Do it in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
But I honestly think that because of Nick Caserio, there is no damn way in hell. I think you are off the list. Off the list.
Yeah, Caserio would look bad if Watson comes here and, you know, they're back in the Super Bowl and his team is winning 3-4 games down there. He looks really bad.
I mean, I'm just saying that those picks with Miami you are getting right now, 3, 18, 35, next year's first, they're probably going to be pretty good, right? So next year's first will probably be late 20s or whatever. I don't know, mid-late 20s. If the Patriots get Deshaun Watson, you give 4 or 5 first-round picks, and they're a good playoff football team. Like, what did you just give up Deshaun Watson for?
So
like
if
4 or 5 picks at 23, 28? What are we doing?
If the Patriots were potentially the highest bidder in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, you believe that Nick Caserio would say no to that because of his former connection?
My thing is, I find it hard to believe they could be.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
I find it hard to believe they could be the highest bidder. I really do, because they don't have what these other teams have. You know, like the Jets have 2 firsts from Jamal Adams. Like, you know, the other guys have 2 firsts from Laremy Tunsil. You know, or first and a second, which is, you know, late first, I guess, at 35. So it's like they've got these additional first-round picks that they could just lump them all in. They know exactly right now where those picks are.
So we believe that Jacksonville – I don't believe Jacksonville is going to be part of this and involved in it. Suppose the Dolphins don't. Suppose the Dolphins like to – they want to hold on to the picks. They don't want to go anywhere. Then you've got the Jets, right? They would be a possibility. Maybe Watson doesn't want to go to the Jets. Maybe he does want to go to New England. I mean, it's going
to have to
who's
their head coach? Again, I would sit there and say, who's their head coach?
Probably Robert Saleh.
The reality is
who's another one of those emotional guys we were talking about earlier.
He's
not black,
no,
by the
he's
way.
Too over the top.
Not black.
The one thing that I would say is that normally in this situation, they're like Tom Brady. There were really only – there were 2 possible candidates. In the end, there was really only 1 team that could make it work. That was like – it was a fit, perfect marriage. In this situation, I do think you have 3 realistic candidates. Now you say, the Jaguars want, Trevor Lawrence. Probably the fact is that they can play that game, and they can. And if things change, things change. Who knows?
They're
but
not
there's 3 people.
Him. They're not trading.
Listen, you're disconnected from Jacksonville. Don't act like you know what's
you're
going on.
You're living in imagination land. I'm in.
You
reality.
Are. You're living music, in imagination Ryan. Land.
Plays music. Hey, no,
Tyler's right.
You're
on
redneck.
This one. Tyler's right on this.
The smart guys in Vegas aren't even offering odds on that.
Redneck goober.
It's a marketing thing. They've already how many wigs do you think, blonde wigs, have they already manufactured down there? And, you know, hand them out to the season ticket holders. Are you kidding
Again,
me?
Again,
it's going to be
guess,
a big, huge deal down
you know,
there.
If you think Trevor Lawrence is Justin Herbert, I think you're onto something.
I think he's Pat Mahomes.
Wow.
Could be a top 3 quarterback potentially
Thank you, Ryan.
In the next couple years.
Thank you, Ryan.
Wow.
Please
take
play
that
us
guy
out
a rookie contract.
Right,
please,
not
thank you.
All day.
Wow.
Unfortunately, I don't think the Patriots are going to get Deshaun Watson, and it's killing me because
you ever
that would be your answer right there. There's your answer.
Yeah.
How about? Wait a minute. There are rumors about the 49ers being interested in Deshaun Watson. Could you get Nick Caserio to work on some type of deal where Jimmy Garoppolo ends up with the New England Patriots in a 3-way? Can we do a 3-way?
So that's your prize, Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
8-9 games a year?
Listen, Lou,
that worked out well.
Lou, you're looking for the top of the mountain. I'm just trying to get one of the lower peaks. You know, that's all I'm trying to do here. Improve over Cam Newton. Well, we're going to stick with Houston. We're going to stick with disgruntled athletes in Houston. And we're going to stick with the premise that could a Boston team, a New England team, make a deal for one of those disgruntled Houston players. We get to all of that and more right here on OMF.